Bien, la prochaine conférence nous sera proposée par le professeur Marcos Garbi, qui est enseignant et chercheur à l'Université de Venise. La conférence qu'il proposera aujourd'hui s'inscrit dans le cadre plus vaste de sa recherche, financée par l'European Research Council, qui est un vaste projet consacré à Aristote en langue vernaculaire, à la fin du Moyen Âge et à la Renaissance. Donc, je vois que la présentation est prête. Je vais donc lui donner la parole pour une conférence intitulée The Rise of Instrumental Conception of Logic, Vernacular Logical Textbooks in Renaissance Italy.
So thank you very much for your presentation, and thank you very much to the organizer. It's a great honor and pleasure to be here at the Collège de France. Well, and it would be very hard to do something better in comparison what Andrew has just done. I work on the interconnection between vernacular and the vernacular languages and the Latin world, so I will try to explain some of the dynamics that happened, especially in the 16th century and especially in Renaissance Italy. So my paper aims to reconstruct the story of the rise of the instrumental conception of logic in the Renaissance Italy with a specific focus on vernacular philosophy. I'd like to start with a question. Who was the first to advocate the idea of an instrumental conception of logic? Since the corpus of the Aristotelian works is called Organon, that is, instrument, it seems obvious that this conception comes from Aristotle. However, we know that the title Organon to the logical works is Hellenistic, and the important scholars have shown that Aristotle never maintained such conception in his writings. So, the very first to maintain this idea seems to be Alexander of Aphrodisias in his commentary to Prior Analytic. He states that since logic is the product of philosophy, some people think that it is also a part of philosophy. Others, however, say that it's not a part, but an instrument of philosophy. Was this the mainstream and the major interpretation? Well, according to Willem Risse, if we look at the history of logic, the answer is negative. Indeed, according to him, the instrumental conception of logic was reconsidered and systematized only in the 16th century by Jacopo Zabarella. Before Zabarella, we find many conceptions of logic, logic as a science or dialectic art, logic as canon, as a medicina mentis, as scientia scientiarum, or more generally, as art or science. Some philosophers believed that only a part of logic, the logica utens, rather than the logica docens, was an instrument. But this was not neither Alexander nor Zabarella's position. My aim is to understand when the idea of logic overall established itself as an instrument and which kind of instrument it was. Well, in this paper, I will show that Zabarella was not the first to elaborate in a systematic manner an instrumental conception of logic in the Renaissance, but that this idea became popular after the rediscovery and integral publication of Alexander and other Greek commentators of Aristotle in the Renaissance. Well, Alexander's revival was possible thanks to the new Greek and Latin editions of his logical corpus, a body of text that has been completely ignored by scholars and still wait to be studied. I mean, the reception of this text in the Renaissance. Here we have some pictures of the Renaissance edition. In Venice, Aldus Manutio published in 1520 the Greek version of the Aristotelis Aphrodisiensis in Prior Analytica Aristotelis Commentaria, edited by Franciscus Azulanus Nicolao Passero di Janua. In the same year, Aldus also published the Greek version of the Alexandria Aphrodisiensis in Sophisticos Aristotelis Elenchos, edited by Hercules Girlandus. In 1521, the famous philologist Antonio Francini from Montevarchi printed the same works in Florence for Filippo Giunti. Guglielmo Doroteo published the translation of Alexander's Commentary to the Topics and Pseudo-Alexander's Commentary to Sophistical Refutation in Venice in 1541. And in 1542, Bernardus Felicianus published the first integral Latin translation of the Na Praiora Analytica Aristotelis Commentaria. So, the first scholar to use these doctrines was probably Marco Antonio Zimara, professor of logic and natural philosophy at the University of Padua. In 1523, and here we have a picture just to understand how was canonical the text of Marco Antonio Zimara. This is the Juntine edition of Aristotle with Zimara's comments. In 1523, in his Theoremata, he does not recognize the originality of Alexander's thought, presenting as Aristotelian the idea that logic was both a part of philosophy and its instrument in the wake of Boethius and Avicenna. As the hand is a part of the body and its instrument, so its logic in relation to philosophy. However, already in the 1526, in the manuscript preserved in the National Library of Naples, Zimara changes position, stating that, quote, according to Aristotle, philosophy was divided in three parts, active, productive, and speculative. The speculative part was then divided in natural, mathematics, and divine. Logic, however, as it is obvious, is not included in one of these parts, because logic is not a science, according to Aristotle's opinion, but an organon or an instrument. And this is Alexander's sentence, end quote. More than 10 years later, in the 1537, in the Tabula, Zimara states that, quote, according to Alexander and the ancient Peripatetics, logic is not properly science, but a modus scendi, a way of scientific knowledge, that is, an organ of philosophy, end quote. It is important to keep in mind Zimara's position because, albeit totally forgotten today, his writing circulated very widely for the his reading inside and outside university, and sometimes more outside the university than inside. Well, recent studies have demonstrated that Zimara's Tabula was one of the main sources of the Aristotelian philosophy for intellectual working outside university, also for women. Among these intellectuals, we can find Benedetto Varchi, one of the first scholars who advocated the instrumental conception of logic. Varchi was not only influenced by Zimara, but he was friend of Antonio Francini from Montevarchi, and he knew his philological and editorial work on Alexander. As may be evinced from the catalogue of Varchi's book, the Florentine philosopher used the Junti edition of the Greek version of Alexander, published in 1521, the edition that we have mentioned before. He was unable to use the Latin version, which was published in Venice only in 1542 by Bernardus Felicianus, since Varchi's logical writings, manuscript writings, are dated to around the autumn of 1540, when he was in Padua in the circle of the Accademia degli Infiammati. Varchi also owned most of the ancient commentaries on Aristotelian logic, but those which attract our attention for our topic are those of Ammonius and Philoponus. Ammonius and Philoponus are explicitly mentioned with Alexander as the other followers of the instrumental conception of logic. Both deal with the instrumental conception of logic in classifying Aristotle's work. For Ammonius, quote, since in the theoretical realm some things creep in as apparently true without being true, and similarly in the practical realm some things are colored with name of the good without being good, we need some instruments to discriminate such things. What is it? Demonstration. Similarly, Philoponus states, quote, since there is a great deal of disagreement among people concerning the good and the bad and the true and the falsity, and one person considers one thing to be good or bad, true or false, another something else, he stood in need of an instrument for distinguishing between them, and that is demonstration, end quote. Well, in my opinion, we cannot clearly say that they are supporting a complete instrumental conception of logic, rather than demonstration was the instrument, that is the right tool for philosophy. But of course, it represents for many Renaissance philosophers a further proof that logic was to be conceived as an instrument and not as a part of science. We have many opinions according to which a syllogism, for instance, is an instrument. So from my standpoint, this is the fact that demonstration is an instrument. It doesn't mean that you are endorsing an instrumental conception of logic. Well, Varchi's reflections on the nature of logic are in the manuscript dated the end of the 1540 and preserved at the Central National Library of Florence in the folder Rinuccini. This manuscript is an unfinished commentary to Aristotle Analytica Priora, and large portion of it are devoted to the defense of the instrumental conception of logic. Varchi writes that logic is no more than a way, an instrument by means of which the true may be distinguished from the false in speculative philosophy and the good from the evil in moral philosophy. This brief definition already presents logic as an instrument rather than an art or a science because it teaches not to make mistakes and it is that without which it's impossible to know or to be aware of knowing. Varchi asserts that, quote, without logic, no one can know anything. Of course, anyone can have an opinion about anything, but not about science. In other words, we may peradventure know something without logic, but not know that we know it, which is little better than not knowing it. From this we find, without doubt, that all those who write or speak without this heart, as well as not observing any method whatsoever, they never understand anything themselves, not that they are understood by others, often say things that even thought they are not contrary to the truth, still they are repellent to themselves. Without any logic, may nor must anything be treated scientifically. And this is to remind those that do not know logic that they know nothing at all. End quote. So here the importance of logic for philosophy. Thus, logic for Varchi is the instrument without which the entire edifice of knowledge can be neither built nor based on solid foundation. In the premise to the Prolegomeni, Varchi writes that it is important to establish, quote, under which part of philosophy logic is. If it is a part or an instrument was a matter of discussion in ancient times and nowadays more than ever. The sentence of the very noble peripatetic Alexander and of John Philoponus is that according to Aristotle and his followers, so Alexander, logic was an instrument of philosophy, end quote. In Varchi's commentary, an entire chapter is devoted to understand if logic was an art or a science. This is the old question, logic and sic ars or scientia. The debate was to attract many of the most brilliant minds of the 16th century, and Varchi was to become one of the very first theorizers, indeed, to the best of my knowledge, the first to write in the vernacular language. In this case, also alongside Alexander of Aphrodisias and Philoponus, are Varchi's primary sources. Varchi states that among the ancients generated there were various conceptions of logic. One perspective was that of the Stoic, who asserted that logic was a part of philosophy, which included, we know, physics and ethics. Well, the dominant perspective, however, was that of the Aristotelian, who referred to logic as an organon, meaning instrument, and did not see it as a part of philosophy. Logic is not part of active philosophy because it does not have as its subject matter and ultimate aim human action, but rather it's a part of speculative philosophy, the subject matter of which are divine things. So the subject of logic is mainly proposition on argumentation, and the ultimate aim is to demonstrate that, given certain premises, certain conclusion necessarily follow. Logic, therefore, is not a part of these two philosophy, but generally it cannot be part of any philosophy. Furthermore, logic is necessary for learning philosophy, but that which is yet to be discovered cannot be used as a means. Thus, also for this reason, logic cannot be philosophy. Logic is an instrument for discovering the truth, but not part of the truth itself. For this reason, Varchi disagrees with the Platonic hypothesis according to which logic or dialectic is a part of philosophy or is eminently philosophy when it considered the matter of reasoning as a tool that abstracts from every matter. To conclude, logic for Varchi, following the very noble peripatetic Alexander, these are Varchi's words, but also the opinion of Ammonius and Philoponus, is simply an instrument of philosophy. In the catalog of Benedetto Varchi's works, Varchi is cited as having written a dialogue on logic, Dialogo di Logica, now preserved in the Central National Library of Florence. Well, the authorship is doubtful since there are no autographic interversion of Varchi's in the manuscript, although the handwriting of the copyist is the same as for the other treatises of Varchi's in the Rinuccini collections. If, however, one analyzes the contents of the Dialogo, the work seems to have some similarity to Varchi's other logical writings. If it is not Varchi's, the Dialogo is nevertheless the work of someone who is closely aligned with the Florentine thinker. The document consists of a dialogue between Carlo Ruberto Strozzi and Muzio, and is set over a period of 3 days. The first day is a full-blown introduction to logic with detailed discussions on its nature and purpose. Muzio begins his lesson by asserting that logic is an instrument given by God for learning all arts and sciences, in other words, generally to acquire any kind of knowledge. In particular, logic is the appropriate instrument for speculative philosophy and active philosophy, as it helps to distinguish between the true and the false, and good and bad. Muzio comes back again and again to the fact that logic is an instrument. Muzio is so insistent that Strozzi declares, I quote, "I thought that logic was a science, not an instrument," and ask him, end quote. And ask him why it should be considered an instrument, not equal to any other discipline. So why an instrument and not a discipline? Well, Muzio answers in solemn vein, saying that, I quote, "This is a serious and not marginal question," end quote. A sign that the author of the Dialogo is well aware of the innovative nature and of the importance of this conception and the fact that much of the logical exposition is based on this idea. Muzio then states that the characteristic feature of every instrument is to be useless to itself, but only useful when applied. In other words, useful for the stated purpose, and its usefulness may be judged only if it achieves its purpose. Logic is primarily an instrument of knowledge and is therefore useful for speculative or contemplative discipline, that is, philosophy of nature, divine philosophy, and mathematics. Logic is important also for active philosophy, but its ultimate purpose being to operate and act, it does not make immediate use of logic. So logic can be neither speculative nor active philosophy, rather something propedeutic to them, an instrument without which knowledge will not be possible. In the same time span and in the same intellectual context of the Accademia degli Infiammati, one of the most important vulgarizers of Aristotle's philosophy, at least in Italian language, Alessandro Piccolomini from Siena, maintained the same instrumental conception of logic. Clues of this conception are in the treatise dell'Istituzione di tutta la vita dell'uomo, which was published in Venice in 1542, but it's more likely that it was conceived in the autumn-winter 1539. According to Piccolomini, the most important science is philosophy and is divided into three parts, contemplative, practical, and instrumental. Instrumental philosophy, however, is not, properly speaking, a part of philosophy, so much as an instrument of it. This instrument encompasses three disciplines, dialectic, rhetoric, and poetics. But dialectics, that is logic, is the most important of them. I quote, "Before all the other things, it's not to be doubted, and none should do so, that before all parts of philosophy, dialectic must be learned first. Since it will never be possible to know the sciences if possession of the instrument and the key is not obtained first," end quote. So logic is the instrument by means of which it's possible to distinguish the true and the false, the right and the wrong. Logic is not properly a science rather than a method, a means for acquiring every science. Logic is the servant of all sciences. The model of logic to be followed is the Aristotelian is Aristotle topics with all kinds of the dialectic instruments such as induction and antimeme, so not only demonstration as it was for Ammonius and Philoponus. This we will see, it's very important. And Aristotle topics must be interpreted with the head of the readings given by his most faithful commentator, first of all, Alexander of Aphrodisias. Logic is a useful instrument by means of which human being going about his civic duties could distinguish between true and false, right and wrong. This idea has been carried out to the extreme in the Instrumento della Filosofia. The title of his work is thus programmatic, a manifesto which will hammer out its message with successive generation of logicians until the entire edifice of logic is reduced to a sort of propedeutic methodology for all disciplines. Piccolomini will conceive his Instrumento della Filosofia as propedeutic to La prima parte della filosofia naturale, published also in Rome in 1551. The key message of the poem is that logic was an instrument made to overcome the weaknesses of human mind in finding the truth and in pursuing happiness. Quote, "Since obscure and difficult the knowledge of the true and of the good, wise men made easy the pathway to philosophy with some kinds of instruments through which they could accomplish their task." End quote. Well, this instrument has the peculiar task of helping the knowledge of what is unknown and obscure through what is already known. It is a guide for the understanding, which the ancient philosopher gave the name syllogism, and from syllogism they produced the instrument of logic. Now, the real question is, how is it possible to produce true logic without logic? Here, Piccolomini introduced the distinction between natural logic and artificial logic that we have mentioned before in the discussion. Natural logic is given by nature itself to every human being, and through it, by instinct, they affirm, deny, and give reason of what they say. Artificial logic, instead, is a set of rules and prescriptions according to which the human beings, by affirming, denying, I quote, by affirming, denying, proving, inferring, arguing, makes perfect and polished the argument that nature has given, end quote. Well, therefore, natural logic was helpful for the first wise man to find an artificial logic, quote, for which by art and rules the syllogism that were instrument for the acquisition of knowledge of the true and of the good were made, end quote. For all this reason, even if logic is not a part of philosophy, it is an essential instrument for the exercise of it. Well, the first chapter of the Instrumento is dedicated to the nature of logic. The definition is quite straightforward. I quote, "Logic is not a real science or a part of philosophy, rather only an instrument of it. It's not real, but intentional or conceptual," end quote. Logic, states Piccolomini, serves as an instrument, a rule, a method of discourse and reasoning, and has no purpose of its own other than the production of this instrument for distinguishing between true and false, or weak and complex argument. Well, according to my interpretation, it's interesting to note how already in this very first definition of logic and its purpose, logic, Piccolomini rules out what he had in fact previously conceded, namely the possibility that logic serves to distinguish between good and evil. He focuses mainly on the distinction between true and false. So if the distinction between good and evil is impossible, in theory is possible, in practice Piccolomini builds his logic around the problem of the knowledge within the field of natural philosophy. The propedeutic nature of logic to natural philosophy finds confirmation also in the fact that from 1566, l'Instrumento della Filosofia was to be updated and renamed Instrumento della Filosofia Naturale. The change of the title is by no means insignificant nor whimsical. It reflects perfectly Piccolomini's intention. He aimed to develop a logic that would serve for inquiries into natural philosophy rather than moral philosophy. More generally, the fact that logic becomes properly an instrument of natural philosophy appears to be a tendency of the second half of the 16th century, in which logic is viewed as a scientific methodology. In Latin, Bernardino Tomitano and Girolamo Balduino, Zabarella's main sources, advocated the same ideas following Piccolomini. Tomitano, professor of logic, natural philosophy, and medicine at the University of Padua, and member of the Accademia degli Infiammati, and editor of the Gentine edition of the logical works of Aristotle, following Piccolomini, in his manuscript lectures on posterior analytics, now at the University Library of Padua, writes that, I quote, "We maintain with the most excellent peripatetic that logic is not, if not, an instrument." So it's an instrument. Indeed, the commentator supports, so Alexander, supports that the role of the logician is to consider the instrument for discussing things, the same instrument that the philosopher uses for distinguishing the true from the false and the good from the evil, end quote. Balduino, in his Logica Quaesita, here just to show the impact that some vernacular textbook had on the Latin, believes that the logic teaches the modus scendi, so it's the same words that Zimara used. I quote, "Indeed, it is the argument through which science is obtained. What is taught in logic are instruments in support of art and sciences," end quote. If logic is only a modus scendi, then it cannot be, as Aristotle states in the second book of books of metaphysic, a science. We cannot confuse a science with its method. Unlike what Philoponus and Ammonius stated, demonstration is not the main instrument. All dialectic inferences, from instance induction, like for Piccolomini, are important for the acquisition and the establishment of the habit of science. For Balduino, it's important that they do not teach science, but they are instrument of science. Indeed, logic, I quote, "teaches singular rules, canons, conditions, and instruments to discover science, but logic does not use them," end quote. In its being a way, modus, and instrument of science, logic is cognitio suorum instrumentorum, and these instruments are not universally valid, but they are exclusive of their fields of application. Logic is the guiding instrument of all sciences and art, which acts from within the cognitive process, offering the most convenient instrument for the acquisition of science. When the instruments are applied, the pure logical notion no longer corresponds to those applied, so much that it makes no sense to speak of an habitus logicalis. It would be like to speak of a disposition of a disposition, or an instrument, or a faculty of a faculty. Within all these possibilities of application of the general rules of logic, Balduino emphasized particularly the habitus physicalis mistus ex logica. This kind of habit differs from the metaphysical habit because the habit of metaphysic is general, is habitus mistus sui generis. The logical instrument of the metaphysical survey differs from that of metaphysics insofar it depends primarily on logic as instrument. If logic was not an instrument but a science or metaphysics, physics would have remained primarily subordinated. Unlike metaphysics, logic does not provide general rules on general entities, but it becomes an applied methodology, a way for the scientific discovery. So in conclusion, an opinion on logic, it is that is not science, neither art, rather an instrument of science and art. That is, said more correctly, the faculty that serves all arts and sciences. The last work which I would like to consider is the unknown Scala di tutte le scienze e le arti, published in 1567, written by Gregorio Morelli, a Paduan professor of natural philosophy. It is an interesting work because it is a dialogue between Bernardino Tomitano, that we have mentioned previously, and another member of the Accademia degli Infiammati and editor of the Aristotle's Logical Writing, and Morelli himself. The dialogue is a vernacularization, popularization, and vulgarization of Girolamo Capivacci's De Differenzi Doctrinarum Logicis Philosophy Atquid Medicis per Necessarium, published in 1562. There is, however, an original part, which is the first section in which the author, who impersonalized Tomitano instead of himself, states that the stair of all sciences and art is logic. Not logic in general, but the methodology. Without these stairs, it would be impossible to acquire any knowledge whatsoever. The stair is required because human mind is limited and needs a support in order to reach the knowledge of the true and of the good. This instrument has two tasks, so much that it's possible to say that there are two main instruments. As we will see, there are three instruments, but two main instruments. One discovers unknown things, the other arranges neatly confused things. Besides these, Morelli adds the instrument of the way of teaching. In particular, he writes that, quote, there are necessarily three kinds of instruments, of which one makes clear obscure things, the other arranges, and the third is the way we use in managing these two instruments for making possible that such sciences and arts can be understood. The instrument which arranges the disordered and confused things and that composes will have such name that it has always had among other writers, that is, order. And it will be the base of our stair. And the other second instrument we call method or way, and it will be the rungs of the stair. And the third kind, that is, the way of teaching or writing, will be the steps that science will make through the stair. From this passage, we can understand how the instrumental conception of logic transformed logic into a methodology. Not only, quite clearly, from the rest of the book, we see that this methodology is applied directly to natural philosophy. This is quite clear because it's a popularization of Capivacci's work. So, in conclusion. During this paper, we have seen that the instrumental conception of logic emerged with the new knowledge of Greek commentators, in particular with Alexander. The context in which this concept reemerges is that of the Accademia degli Infiammati, or more generally, Padua. This instrumental conception of logic was particularly widespread in the vernacular logical textbook because these textbooks were mainly conceived for giving practical advices to a vast numbers of or different kinds of public. Through the instrumental conception of logic, logic becomes a methodology, in particular a methodology applied to natural philosophy. All these conclusions can explain why Zabarella wrote at length on the nature of logic and on that of method. They explain why logic quickly became a methodology for natural philosophy, that is, a logic for scientific discovery, foreshadowing some of the trends of early modern logic, represented, for instance, by Francis Bacon with his Novum Organum, and by René Descartes with his Discours sur la méthode. Thank you very much.